it's Laura with my next episode of Chat 360. Thanks for joining me. And we're going to talk today about medicine, but specifically joint replacement and things about your joints. So I have a very special guest with me today. I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. But first, I want to just say joint replacement surgery. Okay, I've seen a lot of it. Back when my husband was having his knees replaced, there was a whole floor of people that were getting knee replacements, and that was probably about 20-some years ago. Well, it's not just for the elderly anymore. Patients across the country are undergoing knee and hip replacements, and they're trending younger. And according to a national study by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the average age of hip replacement patients has ticked down from over 66 to slightly under 65, and I'm going to say that probably even younger than that. I'm going to talk with my guest, and I think he's going to agree with me on that. Knee replacement patients are average age 66, down from 68. So there is a Dr. Martin of sports medicine, and he was estimating that about half the patients he performs knee replacements on are under 60. Now, my guest today, and thank you so much for being here because I know you have a busy, busy schedule, is Dr. Gregory Bisignani, an orthopedic surgeon from Greensburg. Welcome, Greg.
Well, thank
Can
you.
I call you Greg?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So you are the king of joint replacement. Let's just call you that. I'm giving you that moniker. Tell me, do you agree with the very first sentence that came out of my mouth about patients trending younger for replacement?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me.
Sure.
It's great being here. What we see now, and I've been in practice for 25 years, all here in Greensburg, so I have a lot of experience in joint replacement and taking care of a lot of patients that have that condition. The biggest thing that we're seeing nowadays is, you know, patients want to be a lot more active as they age, and they don't want to give up their lifestyle. So arthritis can be very debilitating, and it can hit at any age. The typical wear and tear arthritis that we typically see often hits in the mid to late 60s. Nowadays, we're seeing a lot more patients, younger patients with more severe arthritis. And a lot of times it became from maybe a childhood injury, or they had an ACL tear, or they had a fracture of their knee. Or a lot of times it's just genetic. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people get end-stage arthritis. Another common reason is diabetes. You know, we're not really sure why diabetic patients are much more prone to getting arthritis, but in Western Pennsylvania, we have some of the highest population of diabetes. But for all those reasons, we are seeing much younger patients getting end-stage arthritis. And as an orthopedic surgeon, it's probably one of the most frustrating and difficult patients to take care of, because these patients want to live an active lifestyle, and they can't because of their pain in their joints. Mm-hmm. And once we fail conservative treatment, we don't have many other options other than a joint replacement. Now, when I started in practice, you know, 25 years ago, we shuddered. We didn't want to do joint replacements in people under the age of 60.
Right.
And the simple reason why, and I like to tell my patients all the time, joint replacements are like car tires. They don't last forever. And you can't put, when you buy a car tire, they don't say this lasts for 10 years. What do they tell you? 30,000 miles. It's the same with a joint replacement. It's hard to put a amount of years on that, because it depends on how much weight you're carrying, how active you are, and how much you use that joint.
Mm-hmm.
So just like a car tire, I like to tell my patients, a car tire that you put on a car and you're just driving to church or to the grocery store is going to last a lot longer than that car tire if you're driving on the turnpike 50, 60 miles a day, 75 miles an hour to work back and forth, which
right.
tire is going to last longer.
Right.
So a younger active person is going to wear that joint out a lot faster than an older, more sedentary person. A lot of the procedures that we do today, and especially the metals in the of the prosthesis and the plastic liners that we use, are the best we ever had. So they're lasting a lot longer than they ever used to do. So people ask me all the time, they want to know, how long is my joint replacement going to last?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them the same thing. You know, it depends on how active you are in your lifespan. But if you take across the board, 85% of joint replacements that we do nowadays last over 25 years.
So what's the youngest person that you've done a joint replacement on?
Well, you know, I'm getting older. It used to, I always felt it made me feel bad if I was doing people younger than me. I'll go on the record of saying I'm 57, but especially the last 5 or 10 years, it's become much more common that I'm doing joint replacements in patients actually younger than myself. I've done patients in their 40s. In fact, I just saw a patient last month that she's about 10 years out, and I think she was maybe 42 when I did her joint replacement. Now, those patients usually have rheumatoid arthritis, are born with congenital congenital dysplasia where their socket is developed in their hip, and they're more prone to getting arthritis at a much younger age. And again, it's very frustrating for those patients to be in pain all the time. They want to be able to go out and walk. They want to be able to exercise. They want to be able to go to the mall and do things. And when we run out of non-operative options, then it's, I always tell my patients, I feel like I'm hanging a carrot in front of them, but I'm not giving it to them because I have something that I can do, but I don't want to do it.
Right. And what was the age in the past? I mean, what was it, like 65? I mean, what were you
used to
telling people?
Even today, my goal is to try to get patients into their 60s. Ultimately, the older the patient is, the better, because most likely the joint is going to outlast the patient. I always tell my patients, if you wear out a joint replacement, it can be redone. But when you go back and redo or do a revision joint replacement, the risks are higher and the success rate is lower. So ultimately, you only want to have to do it once. If you're doing a joint replacement in someone in their 40s, instead of getting that 20 or 25 years out of it, they're going to get 10 or 15 years because they're so much harder on that tire. So now they're 50, 55 years old and you're doing a second joint replacement. And potentially by the time they're 60 or 70, they're going to have 3 or 4 joint replacements. And it makes it much more difficult every time you go in. So that's why our goal ultimately is to put it off as long as possible. But to answer your question, my goal when my patients come in to see them is really to go as long as we possibly can. When you can't live with it anymore and we're out of non-operative options, regardless of your age, then the next conversation is going to be a joint replacement.
Well, here's my thought as we're talking about this, because I know people nowadays, they want to be more active, but we're active in such a different way than we used to be in the past, because the people, your grandparents, they were not lazy. They didn't sit around and not do anything. I mean, they were hardworking people who probably were more physically demanding job than we are today. So what's the difference now that we all of a sudden we say we're more active, but it's a different kind of active. Is that making a difference on our joints?
Oh, absolutely. I like to use the example. My father's 90, almost 91 years old. He goes to the gym 3 or 4 times a week, uses a treadmill and works out.
I don't even do that.
Well, I mean, it's impressive, and I hope I have some of his genes. But, I mean, if he had an arthritic joint, and he wouldn't be able to do those things. So it's not necessarily going to the coal mine at that age, but you still want to be able to play with your grandkids, walk the mall. You want to be able to go to the gym and exercise and do treadmills. And that's a question I get all the time. What level of activity can you do after a joint replacement? Mm-hmm. And again, a younger person that has a joint replacement, we're trying to preserve that joint as long as possible, make it last as long as we can. So I usually like to use the level of social tennis, pickleball, or social tennis. You can do that level, hike, bike, swim. You know, it's not a good idea for a young person to get a joint replacement and go out and try to run a marathon. Again, that tire is just going to wear a lot faster. So in order to preserve it and try to last as long as we can, and we do several things, not to get too technical, but there's what's called a polyethylene liner. It's basically a plastic liner that sits between the two metal parts of the joint. And that's the weak part of the system. That's the part that wears out.
Okay.
And what we do...
Like cartilage almost.
It's the new cartilage, so to speak.
Yes.
But it's between two metal parts. And it's the best. It keeps getting changed and modified and improved. But it's tough to improve on these products because what we do today, you almost have to wait 25 years to know if it works better than what we do now. Because we now, the ones we have today, we know hopefully will last more than 25 years. But there's simulations and things that they use to, you know, they can move it in a laboratory setting to represent much faster. So you don't have to wait 25 years. Mm-hmm. But the plastic liner that we have now is the best that we've ever had. And that's why these joints last longer. But what we do routinely is have the patients usually come in on an annual basis and get an x-ray. Because I'll be able to see on an x-ray if that plastic liner is starting to wear long before the patient will ever feel anything. So if they do start to wear the joint, we can go in and change that plastic liner, which is only 10 or 15% of the original surgery. So it's a much easier surgery, much quicker surgery, much easier recovery. And once you replace that plastic liner, it's like getting a new tire. Your 20 years starts all over again, or 25 years starts all over again.
Right.
But the key is you have to come and get an x-ray once a year and you have to watch it because you're not going to feel anything. If you let that plastic liner wear over time, it'll form microscopic particles and eventually it'll cause the metal prosthesis to come loose from the bone and then you'll get pain. The problem is that most patients don't want to go to the doctor if they're not having pain. We're not a very good...
Who does, right?
Well, we're not a very good preventative medicine
society.
It's not after the fact we get involved. But if that patient comes in to see me once they've had pain, at that point to fix it, it's a much bigger procedure. You have to take the entire prosthesis out and put a new prosthesis in. So if you get a joint replacement at a young age, you want to get into the habit of, you know, getting an annual x-ray and just making sure that it's still functioning well and not showing any signs of wear.
I'm sure one of the reasons, or I'm thinking that maybe one of the reasons you see younger people is, I think we're involved in a lot of very physical sports at a younger and younger age than ever before. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one specific example would be ACL injuries. You know, they're much, much more common nowadays than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. And luckily, we have better techniques to treat them. But anyways, we know that those patients that have major knee injuries when you're younger, and be it a sport or any other reason, they're much more prone to getting arthritis at a young age.
So I actually have trouble with my knees. You know, I've come to see you, and I have arthritis, what, behind my kneecaps, which does affect my mobility. And we've talked about that. I'm not at the point, certainly, where I would need a knee replacement, but I can understand how you would get to the point where you just can't live your life normally without getting something like that done. So it's just interesting to me that young people, I think, are taking, seem to be taking, how do I want to say, a more involved look at their lifestyle and the way they're living, and they're maybe having higher expectations of what they want to feel like as they age. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of the most difficult conversations that I have as a physician when a young person comes into me to see me and they want to know why they can't do the things that they used to do. And we get an x-ray and I say, well, you have arthritis. I said, and then you have to change your lifestyle. Or, you know, someone, for example, maybe they're a mailman and no longer they can't do their job because of their arthritis, and they get frustrated. So it's pretty hard when you're 40 or 50 years old, all of a sudden to be told you can't do what you've always done, be it recreation, be it, you know, I can't tell you how many times people come into my office and say, I just want to go out in the backyard and catch football with my grandson or with my kids, or be able to keep up with them. You know, so it's part of it is I call it the too many birthday sign. You know, a lot of it's just normal aging, but a lot of it is genetics. You know, a large percentage of the people that I see that get arthritis at a young age, I ask them, did your parents or grandparents have a joint replacement, have arthritis? And most of the time, the answer is yes. And it's hard to beat your genes, you know. And you know, unfortunately, we are, especially in Western Pennsylvania, we have a little bit of a problem with obesity and our weight. I always use the analogy, the more weight you put in the trunk of the car, the more you're going to wear your tires down. And that goes before and after a joint replacement. So, I tell my patients all the time, as much as I love to operate and like to think I'm a good surgeon, I really try hard to keep people out of the operating room.
Okay, so we end up with a lot of us at, what's the percentage of people with arthritis in this area? I mean, I guess you haven't seen 100% of everyone who lives here, but...
Well, Matt, you can go nationally. You know, there's estimated to 40 to 50 million people in the United States that have arthritis.
In some form,
right. And the most common is osteoarthritis.
Right.
So,
is that age related?
Yeah, usually it's age related, but it's also, you know, do you have any prior injuries? Do you have what your weight is and genetics? So there's a lot of factors. And as I said, diabetes is a big player in that also.
So tell me, okay, before, let's rewind to, we're younger now, before we get to the point where we have arthritis, what do you suggest as a doctor that we do to be proactive to help ourselves so that we are healthier when we age? I mean, that's got to be more important. We're living longer now, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want to end up the last, you know, 10, 15 years of our life in pain or debilitated or not able to do the things that we want to do. So what can we do proactively to ward off any kind of like joint issues, say, for instance, since you are, again, the king of joints?
I would have the same recommendation in terms of preventive interventions for arthritis as the same things I would tell you is if you have arthritis. And what I mean by that is we can't stop arthritis. We don't know how to cure it in 2024, but we can try to slow it down. Another analogy I like to use all the time is it's when you have arthritis, it's like you have a fire going on and we can't put it out, but we're just trying to keep it under control. It's going to flare from time to time. Our goal is to minimize the flares. But to answer your question, what I'm getting at is the preventative actions are pretty much the same as the treatments that we have once you have arthritis. Number one, watch your weight. You know, if you're overweight, get some weight off. It's like taking weight out of the trunk of the car. You're not curing it, the tires, but you're taking the pressure off. It's going to last longer. So get in shape. You know, good physical shape. Keep your muscles strong. Maintain your flexibility. You know, if you have arthritis, you may not be able to go out and run, but you can swim or bike. Mm-hmm. The most common thing I ask, you know, my patients come in, they can't, you know, I say lose weight. I can't lose weight because I can't exercise. Well, there's two components to losing weight. One is watching what you eat and dieting and nutrition, which we're not good at as Americans, knowing what's good and what's not.
Junk food.
That's right. But the second part is exercise. And it's hard to exercise when you have a bad joint. But biking and swimming are orthopedist best friends, especially swimming, because of the buoyancy of the water. You can get a good exercise without putting stress across the joints. But there's a lot of exercises you can do. So if you don't have arthritis, stay in shape, keep your muscles strong, maintain your flexibility. If you have arthritis, lose weight, do the exercises that you can to maintain your strength and motion. There's a bunch of supplements out there. I get asked all the time about supplements. Unfortunately, there's not much scientific literature to support supplements right now. But by the same token, a lot of people do feel that glucosamine with chondroitin in it, there's turmeric, some over-the-counter stuff does help. I tell my patients, for the most part, it's not going to cause any problems to try it. You can try it. If it helps you, great. Keep taking it. If it doesn't help you, you don't lose anything. Another thing I always tell my patients is, I don't care if you go home, sit in the corner, turn the lights out, and tap your nose with a pencil. If that makes you feel better, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Keep doing it. It's not causing any harm. It makes you feel better. Keep doing it. And that's kind of the way I feel with the supplements. So, I'm not going to sit here from the clinician in me and advocate supplements, but from the scientist in me, I'd say no. But from the clinician in me, I have a lot of patients that swear by it. So, very simple to answer your question, stay in shape, watch your weight, keep your flexibility and your muscle strength.
Okay. And stretching too.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? As we get older, our muscles get tight. As the muscles are like rubber bands, as the muscles tighten up, they put more pressure on the joints. So anything you can do to maintain. So yoga, simple yoga, simple stretching. I mean, I do it myself. I mean, not as much as I wish, but it does help.
How do you have time for all that? See, that's my problem, and that's my excuse. And I think that's all of our excuses, right? Oh, I just don't have time. I'm just too busy. But we find time
for
what we
time.
Need to find time for, right?
My wife gets mad at me all the time, but I always tell her I'm a surgeon. I have no wasted movements. That's my goal. So just being efficient.
And speaking of that, just real quick, a lot of advancements in your surgery, your procedures for replacements, whether it's hip or knee. Tell me a little bit about those real quick. Like, what are we seeing as advancements? The technology that you're using, the amount of downtime that now, when you get back and up and running and when you start to feel better. Just real quick.
Sure.
Tell me about
that. Especially in the 25 years, I'll give you a simple example. When I started 25 years ago, you came into the hospital the same day as the surgery. We did the surgery, usually in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, and then you went to another rehab part of the hospital, different part
right.
of the hospital, and stayed for another 7 days. So your total stay in the hospital was usually 7 to 10 days. Now, patients come in and go home the same day. I did 3 joint replacements today, and all patients went home the same day.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's many reasons for that. To answer your question from advancements, our surgical approaches, we try to not cut muscle as much, and we make smaller incisions, and we do muscle-sparing approaches, so you have less pain. So we can get these patients up moving faster and have less pain. We also have a lot of new anesthetic techniques with nerve blocks that help control the pain, because the biggest thing after these joint replacements is dealing with the pain. I tell my patients all the time, this is not a surgery where you can just lay around and get better. You have to get up and move, and orthopedics is much different. You can have open-heart surgery and lay around in a bed and heal. Orthopedics, if you lay around after a joint replacement, you're going to get stiff, not to mention all the other complications that can go around from just being in bed rest. So as far as the biggest advancements now, it's really the preoperative intervention. We try to get people's muscles stronger before surgery so they bounce back faster, try to educate them more, control their pain better, more, and better surgical techniques, smaller incisions, muscle sparing techniques so they have less pain. We can get them up moving and get them out of the hospital a lot quicker. And most, I'd say 85% of the patients I do nowadays are done as an outpatient.
Wow, that's exciting. So I have been talking today with Dr. Gregory Bisignani. He is an orthopedic surgeon in Greensburg for 25 years.
That's right.
Wow. So thank you so much for taking time today. A very important topic and very interesting to me, joint replacement and how it is affecting younger and younger people. So thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.